joined by the opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight, and that one there will be Alex Stone. Good morning.
Thank you. Yeah, we are.
Good morning.
All right. So we are
starting for the opinion that it was a really boring Clash track.
You don't like that one?
They had their moments, but my God, they could be boring and pompous sometimes.
Yeah, but hang on. Are we not giving it a fair go? Because the Clash needs to be going at full volume, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think when they strayed into that kind of boring reggae stuff, it just it was very annoying.
Okay.
Well,
you got to kick off with an opinion.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're here for.
It reminds me of the time when I was a university DJ, and we were actually playing the Clash in those days, and we were the first to play the Police in that benighted country. And one day, just to spread people's minds, I played a Dolly Parton track. And there were hordes bashing down the glass windows outside my booth. It wasn't a pretty sight.
Turn that horrible noise off.
Anyway.
So on Friday of next week, nominations close for the local board, and then we'll be fully into election season. But, you know, it's you can go hunting politicians early. So,
well, yes.
Yeah, so
what intrigues me is, will there be a late runner? Because, you know, you'd think if you want to put your name up, you'd put it up early so you can have a few more weeks of your name being out there. But
who knows what may happen. So we've got some contenders who've put themselves out there at the moment. So I thought we should start into that and have a bit of a talk about, you know, who's standing and how that's all looking and lying.
Well, it seems to me like there is a fairly concise lineup of opposition here. And the name of the game is regime change.
Oh, interesting, yeah. Well, I love the implied superiority of the A-team.
Yes.
They listing themselves as the A-team. And
what does the A stand for? Awkward?
Yeah, no, I think it's...
antagonistic?
I think it's all to do with how you pronounce it. I think it's the A-team. You know, because, yes, you know, when you think of one of their candidates' splendid... abilities in listening, it's not exactly it's the A team ear behind, you know, it's the not listening team.
That's right. Yes. Was there an awkward whining noise? Oh yes, it's the sound of the majority of the community wishing that we'd listen to them.
Yeah, I even took it upon myself as research for this morning to drive along the Esplanade, and I must admit the traffic calming inverted commas had quite the opposite effect. I found it to be quite a challenging traffic difficulty exercise, you know. Have you been along there where you got to...
No, I still haven't driven down there yet.
Tell you, there's more than 100 signs. So it's this plethora of signs. You can hardly see the view for the signs. And every so often there's a wooden gate, which I seriously thought there was about 2 inches of clearance on either side of the car. So you have to line up, get yourself all tensed up to get through this gate. And you crawl through, obviously. This is calming, but you're really scared you're going to crash the car. They're very, very narrow gates. And I had this thought, like, what about the poor old ambulance or the fire engine? If they're, you know, half of the idea of keeping the road open was an emergency.
Well, they can open them. They swing those things open.
They swing the blocks open. So you have the vision of the ambulance driver heading off to an emergency and stopping every so often to open these wee little gates. That's not exactly calming.
But it may be a question of when was the last time an ambulance actually needed to go around there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, it was just going back to Alan's point, you know, that was a situation where, wasn't there a public meeting where 100 people for keeping the Esplanade closed and one or two against, and the A team considered that the majority.
Yes,
lovely.
Yes, it's funny what a majority can look like when you look at it in the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was amazed to get in here this morning and realise that the community board chairperson had left the Storabunker and actually emerged in public. It's like, gosh, there must be an election coming up. You know, Faye Stora has been very, very low key. Big change from the way she used to be when she was local councillor.
Yeah.
When she was very accessible, was always at the market and everything. She's keeping a very low profile.
Yeah.
But what interests me is, as we go into this election, are we going to see public meetings? And will the A team actually want to front up? Because it's not going to be easy for them.
I get the impression the election is going to especially the A team, but most of the candidates are wanting to make it very low key. Let's just sweep in and we'll be fine, you know.
Well, I mean, Chris, as you say, if we can get to next Friday without too many unpleasant surprises of people blundering into the arena, because we, you know, we do have quite a good solid opposition forming up, and so long as we don't get a repeat of last time where, you know, you get upwards of a dozen people going, oh, I think I should have a go, you know, and all you're going to get is 150 votes.
Mm. Yeah, there were 17 candidates last time, and you know, we just don't know.
But this time there are 6 or 8.
So we've got 7 declared candidates that I can think of.
Yeah.
So we've got Faye, Joe and Don, the A-team.
Three, yeah.
We have essentially Waiheke, which is Paul three. Walden, Beadle Truewell and Bex Ballard and Sharon Brown.
So it's seven, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, it might be a theme I bang on about, but I'm wondering where the eccentrics are. You know, what's happened to the real colourful Waiheke character?
I think this time around that's not what we need.
Good point.
You know, I'd be the last person to say that Waiheke doesn't need eccentric candidates, but no, I think this time around there is an important issue at stake here, so, and you know, we've had a very unsatisfactory board who I think really need to be shown the error of their ways.
What intrigues me about this board is unwillingness to go into sort of certain big community issues like the marina proposal, for instance.
This is what we've just heard. Yeah. And as you say, you know, you actually managed to get that admission that it is not the job of the board to advocate on behalf of the community. Goodness.
Oh, that's when
who knew?
Well, that's when you say, eh?
Yeah.
But, you know, so the people who, and they do seem to be positioning themselves as direct opponents to the current board incumbents, are they up to the job?
Yes, I'd say so. You know, the one difficult part of the job is to know all the ins and outs of bureaucratic processes. And for what we've said about Faye, she's very good at that. I think you still need that skill on the board, but I'd like...
Well, there was, you know, there's always been the saying of Faye Storer that she's a career politician. No, she's a career bureaucrat. I mean, a politician, the whole point about being a politician is avoiding obvious pitfalls.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, she proved that within a few days of the last election. That whole ugly business at the swearing-in could all have been avoided if she just had the patience to wait until the board was sworn in, then start leaning on Denise Roche.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, she couldn't wait. She just had to do it there and then. As a result, of course, the swearing-in turned into a massive demonstration, which, I mean, I wouldn't personally have missed for the world, but it showed incredibly poor timing on Faye Storer's part.
The A-team itself also was a bit rude and ganging up on Denise, you know, and we've kind of forgotten that a wee bit.
Yeah, it was the complete exclusion of Paul Walden from pretty much anything to do with the board.
Yeah.
I was also most amused to see on Joe Holmes' blog page this thing about how the A-team, Faye and Don and myself have fought hard for the last 3 years. It's amazing how Jim Hannon disappears.
From the A-team.
Oh, was there another bloke? Oh, yes, there was, wasn't there? There was that funny little bloke. Yes, but he was weak. He wasn't one of us. We took him to the vet and had him put down.
Well, what did they fight hard for, shall we say?
Well, I don't know. It's closing down the food carts, I suppose. It's funny how they'll tell us that, oh, it's nothing to do with us when it suits them.
Hmm.
But this is another thing which intrigues me, is this complete lack of any political nous. Pick a fight with two popular street traders just before the election. I mean, that is dumb.
Yeah.
I was talking to...
Are we talking about the carts?
The coffee cart and the
Well, did you see Beetle Treadwell's letter in the Gulf News yesterday?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, Beetle wrote a letter in favour of them.
Yes.
Which I think is... like you say, if you might be a clever little campaign ploy.
Well, you do tend to see a lot of letters popping up from people who have never written letters before, don't you?
Oh, yes. You always know it's
once they've got their name on the ballot paper, they're a firm fan of writing letters.
But you really have to wonder what the thinking is. Why is it all of a sudden so important that two harmless street traders be moved from a position which they have paid a vast amount of money to be sitting on? Why is that suddenly so important, and doesn't it show very questionable judgment to start doing it just when there's an election coming up? And these guys have gathered close to 1,000 signatures so far.
Oh, to keep themselves there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good.
The support of the community is massive. We haven't heard a single voice apart from the community board opposing them. There have been no complaints. Yeah. So what's it all about?
Well, just going back to the opposition, the idea of your what you say is a credible opposition. They've got a very splendid website. Have you seen it?
No. Essentially Waiheke website. Bex, it is
Carter,
very...
Bex... Sorry, I got the wrong name. Bex
Ballard.
Ballard, yeah. She apparently has IT skills, and it shows in this website. It's very flash, yeah.
Because, I mean, to begin with, it's you see this small team, essentially Waiheke, emerge. I mean, Paul Walden, fair enough. Now, he also, I think, has shown some questionable political judgment.
Yeah.
But one thing that's been clear right from the start is he does get the bureaucratic stuff. His grasp of the paperwork and the council obfuscation is really quite impressive.
I quite like his passion as well. You know, like, he puts his money where his mouth is. Like, he's done extraordinary work, say, with the Sea Scouts.
Yeah.
There's like a waiting list to become a little Sea Scout at the moment because Paul's done so well. There's, you know, dozens and dozens of kids doing good stuff. And he just goes out and does that kind of stuff with a great passion. Yeah.
Beetle Treadwell, I think, was an excellent idea.
I think she's a great
choice. Couldn't go far wrong with her as a choice for candidate.
Terrific, yeah.
Do we know anything about what she'll be like as a politician?
Well, no, but...
I've known her to be a very wise person, so I'll go with that.
Okay, you know, this is the thing about, experience. Well, who has got experience until they try?
Well, it goes back to my theory. I'm sure I've expounded this one before, but at national level politics, I've said the way to stop war overnight is to make the only allowable candidates for prime ministers should be midwives, because then they won't send the boys off to war. It's too simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Just growing on that, Beetle is an experienced midwife, so she has a lot of wisdom about humanity, shall we
say.
And
then, of course, you have Bex, hi, I just arrived, Ballard, who, does seem quite eloquent, quite onto it.
And they're part of the community.
Maybe somebody who doesn't come preloaded with preconceptions and ideas about the island might be just what we need.
No, that's fine. I'd like to get to know her a bit better through the campaign. And then, of course, there's Shirin Brown, who we do know quite well.
Ah, yes. Well, Shirin, good, safe pair of hands as far as I can see. I mean, she's smart, dedicated to it.
I think some people would see her as a sort of lefty greeny candidate.
Well, yes,
but she's very much a social activist, whereas the A team seem to, as we said earlier, aren't exactly social activists.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, so long as we don't get this sudden rush of spoiler candidates coming along at the end. See, I was looking back through the numbers this week, going back through the results from the last election.
There's homework for you. Well done.
Yes. I don't do statistics very well, but it's interesting when you look at the vast division in the vote on Waiheke between for Mike Lee and Alex Sweeney last time round. And if you count up the votes, I mean, if you discount a couple of the less credible candidates. And I've also set aside Colin Bearden's candidacy, because that really was a very one-issue candidacy. If you strip away all of those and you look at the difference between the left-leaning vote and the right-leaning vote, it's overwhelming.
For Mike?
Yeah. But also for the local community board members.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, Denise Roche was the only one to actually top the 2,000 mark.
Yeah, and then if you took all the dozen or so left-leaning candidates,
yes,
you'd
have to say that the left-leaning vote is overwhelming on this island, and it's no good trying to pretend it isn't. You can sit there talking to the golf club and the Rotary Club as much as you like, but really they don't have the numbers.
Yeah, I suppose that's how it is when you have a large gated estate, yeah. But they do have a higher percentage of voting, those kind of people, generally.
Well, no, if the numbers from last time are anything to go by.
Yeah.
But the big question, of course, is will the vote remain solid this time round, or will we see a slight drop-off? My guess would be we'd see maybe 10% less
turnout. I think we'll see a drop-off because there's nothing that contentious.
And I think also because last time it was something of a new thing. It's, the super city, new local board and everything. People might have been tempted to actually open the damn envelope and fill it in.
And also there were so many people standing that even if their brother voted for each one of them, that's going to lift the turnout, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas, you may well see this time around that we've got maybe a 10% drop-off of people going, oh, it's just politics as usual.
So, another way of looking at this, you can kind of frame it as a left-right kind of divide. Another way, I suppose, of framing it is around experience, inexperience. Mm. So, as we say, we've got two of the essentially Waiheke people who haven't got political backgrounds. Sharon hasn't got the political background. Yeah. And you talked about Paul's, that you felt a lack of political judgment exhibited. And certainly there's been, a conduct hearing around his involvement. So is it really going to come down to that experience versus inexperience?
Yeah. Well, I think too much is made of experience very often in politics. I mean, people going into actual parliament, few of them have much in the way of experience of anything apart from maybe running a law firm or a medical practice.
The deepest irony there is the people with the experience that make the biggest mistakes. Richard Nixon being a case in point, or Nick Smith in New Zealand. They're often, if too much experience leads to a little bit of hubris. And
And Faye Storer is an example of exactly that. I mean, she's the one with the most experience, and her judgment has been catastrophic.
Mm.
I mean, you really can't imagine that she's picked up any new votes over the last 3 years. I mean, a lot of people must have voted for her last time round, imagining that she was still the nice left-leaning councillor that she'd always been.
I know a lot of people who voted thinking she'd be a stabilising influence, but then the Denise Roche debacle
was
the opposite of that.
So it would be very, apart from obviously the more sort of rednecked people at the golf club and so forth, they might have changed their tune. I mean, they were the kind of people who 6 or 7 years ago were going, oh, bloody fairy story, yes, just a greenie, not just another greenie hippie, but I think they've actually come around to thinking, oh, actually, maybe she is one of us.
Yeah. Now, what do you think the tone of the election will be like?
It seems subdued. Well, it appears that way right now, but who knows? Waiheke has an amazing ability to generate a drama. It seems to be in our genes. I heard a lovely definition of a true Waihikian these days. Do you remember Joe Waite? He used to drive around the island in a yellow Ford Model T.
Lovely character.
His definition of a true Waihikian is a person who could get into a room by him or herself and get an argument going.
Yes.
So maybe if the election seems a little bit dull, if it seems dull now, hang on, give us a few weeks, we'll find something to argue about.
Well, I mean, you ask about the tone of the election. One of the things will be, will the local press decide to engage this time around? Because they certainly didn't last time. I mean, I can't imagine the marketplace will. That seems to have given up really doing anything apart from printing what they're told to by Fairfax. Will the Gulf News rise to the occasion? Do they have anyone currently writing for them who has the get up and go to actually cover the election in any detail?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm sure they will. Liz has got some of the issues are very dear to Liz's heart, so she certainly will pursue them. Yeah.
I'm certainly going to be all over it on Waiheke. I've been trying to get some time this week to start the coverage rolling. The other question will be how will the public meetings develop? Because you'd really have to wonder whether Faye and Don and Joe really want to start addressing anybody except the golf club and the Rotary.
Yeah, some of these issues might develop into contentious ones. I'm not up to speed. Does anyone know what happened at the meeting for the marina applicants to sidestep the consultation process?
Yeah. So that's going straight to the Environment Court.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
So that's what we were talking to Faye about earlier. Mm-hmm. So 4-3 vote of that committee.
Straight to the Environment Court. And what were the grounds for that?
Basically that it was going to go there anyway. So you might as well just cut out all the expensive waffling and just get straight to
No, but hang business. On, correction. What you're cutting out is democratic waffling, because when you get to the Environment Court, it becomes expensive. So you and I can make a submission and be heard in a normal democratic way for the marina process. But when it gets to the Environment Court, you and I would have to hire a fancy lawyer.
Well,
and stand
according
for
to Faystora, no,
according
you won't.
To Fay, you don't. You can you sign up as a 274 applicant or something.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
So you can defend yourself or say your
well,
own piece.
Some, yeah, there's some process apparently.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
It gets pretty arcane.
Gosh.
But if you know, if we have this, if we do have the opportunity to ask of the incumbent board, because one of the things we heard over and over again last time round was, if I'm elected, I will listen.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us will want to know, well, what happened to that? Because that disappeared pretty much immediately, didn't it? Obviously, it was, but we didn't say who we'd listen to.
the majority at the Esplanade debates, for instance.
Yeah. and it does appear, you know, from some of the electioneering going on already, say, you know, that there could be quite a bit of fire, say, particularly between Jo Holmes and Paul Walden. She's got her eyes very firmly set on him. I don't think she's made a blog post that doesn't refer to him. And, I mean, you know, and fair enough. I mean, there's a significant number of projects around the island which he voted against. You know, she's pointing that out. I mean, she's not saying anything inaccurate, but I can anticipate we might get some fire there.
Well, I do hope so. I mean, you know, it would be a shame if this election didn't produce some quite interesting fireworks, but I personally do hope that the incumbents have shown the error of their ways, because I think they have handled this very poorly.
Well, the listening thing is the biggest one for me.
Yeah, the listening. It's just... And also, of course, there was that we heard the repeated mantra from Jim Hannon about, it's all about jobs. Well, that's brilliant, Jim. How would you feel as one of your last actions on the board to put a couple of people out of work? They really don't have a leg to stand on this one.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see. I hope we can generate enough interest in the community for a high turnout. I think we should have a high turnout.
Yes, and I think another slogan that needs to be doing the rounds is, don't forget you get 5 votes. Because I'm amazed every election. People I've known for a while who I know to be intelligent people go, oh, I couldn't work out who to vote for. And it's like, well, you get 5, do you? Oh, I just thought it was the one vote.
Well, you do get the one. Well, there's the one vote for the councillor, isn't there?
Yes.
And is Mike Lee unopposed?
Mike Lee, I'm going to be on the phone to Mike Lee in just a few minutes. Yeah. He's in town in the rain putting up his election placards.
But is he? He's pretty much unopposed.
Well, there'll be people. No, there'll be people standing for
no,
sure.
No, but from our perspective, you know, from the Waiheke perspective, someone we know.
No, he's, you know, he's barely put a foot wrong as far as Waiheke's concerned. Yeah. A lot of faith was put in him from this community at the last election, and I think he's lived up to that. Mike Lee, chap.
Yeah, good old Mike, yeah.
Yes, and then the mayoral election seems to be, well, it was not nearly as contentious as last time.
Yeah, but I do think that, the Minto platform about the free public transport, I think it needs a bit of teasing out. It's actually quite an interesting one, and it's very, very far forward thinking, shall we say. It needs a bit of looking at. It really does. What do you think?
I dislike John Minto intensely.
you had a sceptical look on your face while I was talking.
I just grew up listening to people like him, and I've heard it all before. Yeah. No, I've no time for the men.
But you're right. I think it appears there's a single dominant candidate.
I don't think the Auckland mayoral elections are really going to get interesting until Kim.com.
What do you think he's going to put
it? Well, he ought to. I don't know if he will, it's definite that he should. Yeah. Now, he'd be an interesting
There's
mayor.
A lovely historical connection. In the First World War, a German sea raider, a guy called Count Felix von Lucknow, was imprisoned on Motuhee Island.
That's right, he was, yes.
And he was basically a pirate. Or he was sanctioned by the German... He was a German naval officer, but he went around catching ships in the South Pacific, but in a very gallant way. He'd ask people politely to get off their ships and into the lifeboats and then sink the ships. It didn't hurt many people at all. Eventually got captured and was imprisoned on Motuhee and then escaped because the old dad's army that was looking after him weren't quite up to it. But he came back to New Zealand as a celebrity. And he did a national tour speaking, and everyone was, yeah, you go for this guy. There's some interesting comparisons, a celebrity pirate German raider dude.
Yes.
Taking on the New Zealand, you know, getting on side with the New Zealanders. And old .com, you know.
Yes, maybe this is history repeating itself.
Yeah,
The strange German who came over and impressed us all.
Well, what amazed me about the present national government seems to be very much driven by polls, and they've very effectively buried a poll of about 2 weeks ago when people remember there was exchange between .com and Key saying, I know, you know, and it was all a bit sort of schoolyardish. But they did a poll on that, and the majority, 60% of people, believe .com.
Yeah.
And so here we're in an interesting situation where the German pirate suspect, criminal, whatever he is.
Want him to be telling the truth.
He's believed more than the
he's fun.
The Prime Minister. That's a lovely situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might still see a little more come out there.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. Well, .com has all along been saying, wait till my September court hearing. And I imagine there's a bit of scurrying behind the scenes to try and hide evidence and stuff, because there might be.
Good. Yes. I look forward to it. It's going to be lovely.
All right. So let's wrap it up. I'd need to ring Mike Lee.
Yes.
And
we'll send him our best regards.
Next month, we will have the firm list of candidates. So we'll be able to find if it has kind of remained tight as it is at the moment, or whether or not we are back into the.
In fact, let's say it right here and now. No spoiler candidates. Come on, people. You know who you are.
Now, the last thing we should just mention is the balance of the new board. Because there really, we said there's seven people standing. So there are only two new places on the board. So we need to vote in such a way that one team can't dominate the other in the way it happened in the past. So look for some sort of balance in the board. If you're thinking of candidates across the spectrum, look for a balance. Without,
well, what people have figured out is you only need three, you know, you only need three, and then you do what you want.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we maybe any block of three should be avoided. Yeah, just a thought.
All right, Opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight, Alex Stone, thank you very much for joining us.
See you next month.
Yes, see you next month.